Welcome to episode 264 of Tegodigo Bookmakers. Our bookbinder of the week is not a bookbinder, but a papermaker. Living in the Philippines, where he makes a variety of different kinds of paper, his name is Asao Shimura. Although he was born in Japan, he studied Japanese papermaking in the United States and in other countries. He has done workshops in the Philippines and around the world. Plus, his workshops can be in any language, probably just Japanese and English, of which he is fluent in both. He is also very active on Facebook. You, of course, can search Facebook for his name, Asao, A-S-A-O, Shimura, S-H-I-M-U-R-A, or you can look up P-I-N-A-S-H-I-F-U, Pina Shifu, which is his Facebook name. Shifu is a kind of paper made with threads. Pina Shifu is his Facebook handle. Asao Shimura, a papermaker in the Philippines, teaching all sorts of papermaking in English and Japanese. Check him out at Pina Shifu on Facebook. Or, of course, Asao Shimura. In bookbinding, I made four books, two for sale, two experimental. One experimental is a disaster, and one experimental is pretty good. It's got a nice cover. The ones for sale, one has already been sold. It's a schedule for 2021-2022, starting in April. And the other one is still for sale. It is a blank notebook. It's 100 pages. It's 145 millimeters by 105 millimeters, so it fits very nicely in hands, and it's suitable for doodling or other serious work. The two experimental ones, the one that is 120 pages as the leftover stuff, is very good. It's A5, which is bigger than paperback, and the other one, the casing in was okay, but the cover is all screwed up. So that was the disaster. The other experimental one looks pretty good. So in bookbinding, I made four books. One schedule book, which has been sold. One blank notebook, which is in a soft cover. There's no hard book cover. And then I made two experimental ones, one of which was casing in was good. The cover is a disaster. The other one is pretty good. Not too bad. That's what I've been doing in bookbinding. In fiction, of course, I've been working on Molly Bright. I'm adding more. I'm making it deeper. I should probably get on with the plot as soon as possible, but it's going to be a long book, and I will like to give you a sample right now of the first chapter. Chapter 1. The Village of Ibi, Miyazaki Prefecture, Japan, Sawako Kado. She loved the freedom of surfing, sweeping down a wave, curling left or right, dangling her toes over the front of the board or to the side, crouching down to slide under the lip, leaning back to flip away, skimming over the water, her face is inches from the wave, hurtling down, ready to crush her bones, liquid as solid as concrete. For a few exhilarating moments, her fear concentrated on the here, the now, the wave, not on them. In surfing, she was free. They disappeared. Two surfers await the sun and the waves. Shivering in the morning cold while wearing her red bikini bottom and a Grateful Dead t-shirt, Sawako Kado feels the sun rise over the vast empty sea behind her. She wishes she had time to throw her wetsuit in her car all those months ago, but she had to choose between the wetsuit or her life. They were closing in. She opted for life. "Won't be long now," the man floating beside her says. She glances at him. He's wearing black baggies, a red t-shirt, and riding a light blue board. Good to remember those details in case she runs across them again. Black, red, and blue. They probably wouldn't hire a non-Japanese hitman, but it's better to be observant than dead. Good waves a-comin' and sunshine a-risin'. Wonderful day to be alive and surfing, eh? The man smiles at her and in an instant surveys her body and board. I bet you today'll be a glorious, stupendous, exhilarating day, yeah? Knowing he is probably only attracted to her breasts, nearly naked hips, exposed legs, and her gender, she ignores him. Bare female skin excites men of all ages, whether it is on their backs, hips, chest, or legs, especially thighs. In fact, in spite of their clothing, female bodies excite males. She's tired of putting up with those kinds of creatures. She put up with them in university and in graduate school. Will they ever grow up to mature adults? She thinks not. But at the moment, she wishes to surf, move, and live. So she ignores him. She watches the waves break on the shore. They are small, but the swells promise larger waves soon. She doesn't need huge waves, just large enough to invoke the thrill of speed and a hint of danger. She wants waves large enough to improve her technique, but not so big as to scare her back to shore. At EB, she realizes, monster waves rarely exist, but she hopes for strong ones just the same. She looks north up the coast of Miyazaki. The green hills flow down to the blue ocean. It is restless, vast, and peaceful. Opposite her life for the previous 5 years. An hour's drive north and she'd be in the big city of Miyazaki with its airport, port, and shrine dedicated to the Emperor Jimmu, the first emperor of Japan, the great-grandson of the sun goddess Amaterasu, and the great-grandnephew of the god of the sea and storms, Susanoo. On her journey south, she stopped at the shrine and thought it peaceful with its towering cedar and fir trees, pebbled pathways, and silence. Peaceful and surrounded by the souls of the gods and goddesses. In the shrine, she spied on the other tourists. Which one was following her? Who held ropes beneath their jackets to tie her up and whisk her away? Shaking off the paranoia, Sawako looks south. Hey, the man smiles. You know Sprechen Sie Engländer? He laughs at his own joke. You speak the English? Doesn't matter, do it. We surf, we laugh, we enjoy our day, yes? He watches a wave break on the sandbar built by the river that slides past this village of EB. Language is of no mind, yeah? He turns to watch the swells coming from the depths of the ocean as the sun lightens their horizon. Pity, though, English isn't among your strong suits, he mumbles to himself. She smiles at him, but is worried. People who talk that much about nothing are usually hiding a secret about their personalities, about their past, about their plans. She will watch him carefully. He could be one of their thugs. She paddles backwards to get a better view of the rugged southern coastline. She sees the udon shop on the hill on the road south. She sees the emptiness of the ocean. The ocean, the playground of the god of the ocean and of storms, Susanoo. 30 minutes south by car, and she'd be in a small fishing village centered on its boats and its brotherhood of fishermen. She can't stop there. In that village, everyone knows everyone, and a stranger, especially a female, would be gossiped about and her presence announced to everyone. No, she can't stop there. They will find her there. She sees an old fishing boat chugging slowly north from the village. Even from EB, she can see the white seagulls flocking around the rusty orange hull and array of antennas. Like many boats in western Japan, the boat is a combination of decrepit and high-tech. Decrepit, rusted hoists and chains that hang down from the hull like unwanted day-old udon noodles. High-tech underwater radar to find schools of buri or tuna to capture and auction off. And powerful radios to contact the wives left home for months at a time while the men sail to the coasts of the Philippines, Indonesia, or Australia to harvest tuna or sardines. From where she sits on her board off the coast of Miyazaki, there is nothing but sea straight to Australia. She wonders how long it would take to sail a straight line south to Darwin. In Darwin, would she be safe from them? Would they follow her to the ends of the earth? It's a nice day, isn't it? Sunny soon, you know, and warm, yeah? The man smiles. He smiles and repeats himself, slower and louder, while gesturing at the sky. Nice day, yes? He concentrates his eyebrows together and purses his lips as if he has descended into deep thought. He holds his expression for a moment as a swell raises and lowers he and Sawako. A smile circles across his face, and he says, "I tenki desu ne?" Proud of himself for remembering the Japanese phrase for nice weather, even if his pronunciation is as if he was trying to sound like a beginner, atrocious and unnatural, with a powerful accent where none is required. Sawako looks at him. He is a decent enough-looking man, maybe 30 years old, a bit old to be surfing in southern Miyazaki on a weekday, but she is not interested in conversation or to engage in the casual sex that she suspects he desires. She wants to surf, shower, eat udon on the shop on the hill, and continue her search. She needs to find her asylum, her sanctuary, her safe house, by the end of next month. Being on the road for 5 months is too long, too many opportunities to be spotted, too many possibilities that someone might see her, rat out her whereabouts to them, and she'll be caught. No, she needs to find a hiding place, soon. She needs a house away from prying eyes of gullible neighbors. She wants a small house on a hill covered in vines. A hovel will do, but with a clear view of the road. If only an apartment is available, it needs an easy escape route, perhaps with the rest of the apartments vacant for the last few months. She needs solitude, yet be able to survey the neighborhood around her. "Here it comes," the man sings, with his arms held out parallel to the sea's surface, as if he were accepting the gift of life from the sun. "Walking down the street," he adds. She looks at him. He's concentrating on the hill behind the small EB train station as the sun taps its top. Sawako turns to see the sun rising from the sea like a powerful god. Soon, the small village of EB and beach will be swamped in fingers of sunlight. The waves where Sawako and the man float will heat up, and shortly after that, the surfers will be hot too. But the sea will cool her, a shower will keep her cool for a short time. After that, she will rely on the kindness of air conditioners and bottles of water on her drive south, away from them. And that's the end of the first third of the first chapter. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for dropping by. Thanks for listening and putting up with me. Be careful, be healthy.